coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, November 5th, 2021. It's Friday. Eric the Tech, how are you, sir?
Doing good.
There he is. All right. Doing very well. That's good. Good. Thank you very much for joining me, folks. Got an information-packed show, including an information-packed first hour. A lot of stuff on a lot of topics, including the lockdowns, what's going on there, and the truth behind the hospitalizations from Australia to America. Second part, hey, a little update on what's the deal with the Supreme Court and our right to carry weapons? Did you know that's going on? And the third part of the larger show, the invasion that's about to take place, and it's much more hostile than you think, along with some human intelligence, inside intelligence. I've been speaking with a couple of people now, too, actually, from the same area in the Midwest part of the United States, who have eyes on two groups of Arab Americans who are appearing to be Mexican Americans. Let me rephrase that. Men of Arab descent who in both situations are portraying themselves, and I know how this sounds, but just bear with me, who are portraying themselves as Hispanics. And setting themselves up around critical areas of infrastructure, including military bases. Now, this information has been passed to the proper individuals in charge of law enforcement there on a local level. Now, understand what I'm saying here, okay? To the sheriffs in the counties affected. Why? Why not the feds? Because, well, who knows? Who knows? It could all be feds. I don't know. But so some heads up there. Heads up there, okay? Getting that bit of information out. By the way, just submitted an article for Wisconsin Christian News coming out now. Folks, if you haven't done so already, Wisconsin Christian News, please go to wisconsinchristiannews.com. Subscribe to both the digital and hard copy. If it wasn't a hard copy, I couldn't hold it in my hand, hard copy and digital editions of Wisconsin Christian News, as well as support them because they're doing God's work. I really believe that. The editor there, Wisconsin Christian News TV as well, WCN TV. I'll get it right. Go there as well for my last appearance or my appearance with John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute. Very interesting. And we spoke about Maine Corps. Which is database of domestic terrorists, really, of anybody who the feds find objectionable, and that means you and me. Yeah, we're on that list, and it's a very it's an expansive list, and it is color coded, by the way. And of course, you're not going to hear this, and if you do hear it, the fact checkers are going to say, "Oh, that's a bunch of bunk. It's never been proven." Well, the CIA. Actually, to be honest with you, the CIA proved it through their non-denial. But I digress. All right, so let's get right into this. So again, three areas of concern, of focus. Right now, the lockdowns, the coronavirus, if you will, the bioweapon that is known as the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. Second part, gun rights. Third part, invasion. Updates on all of those. Let's get right into the news about SARS-CoV-2. This is a clip from Australia. This is an Aussie nurse who's speaking out. And this is important for a couple of reasons. I'm going to ask, just be prepared. I'm going to ask Eric the Tech to pause this at certain times because I do have some commentary because she brings up a number of points during this, three and a half, 4 minute news clip from Australia. And all of this is affecting us here in the West, or in America and Canada. So go ahead and let's roll clip number one.
You have have not got, what, 500 healthcare workers from South Australia here protesting silently, respectfully, outside Channel 9 because they've got nothing better to do, okay? We're on the verge of losing our jobs. So we are too young to retire.
So as a registered nurse, you're yes. facing losing your job?
Absolutely. We don't even know where we stand. Apparently, from the ABC News last night, 100 South Australian healthcare workers were being stood down. I don't think so. Try 3,000, okay? That's just in Adelaide alone.
Okay,
this
pause
is that. Not
pause.
Okay.
And keep that on there. So did you hear that? Point number one, very, very, very extremely important. The numbers are being downplayed, whether it's Australia or here in America. You heard, and you can see this posted on social media. Oh, only 85, 86, New York City policemen, did not get the jab and were let go, or X number, whatever it is, whatever that X number is. It is extremely understated in the mainstream media. You heard it here. It's the same template in Australia as it is here in America, or the same in America as it is in Australia. Understand this. There are more people than being reported who are failing to comply. But it would be antithetical to the purposes of the globalists to report the real numbers, because that would empower many within the population, many who are saying, well, you know what, man, I don't know. There's not enough support. There is. Civil disobedience is necessary. Go ahead and continue.
We want to do what we love doing, and that is caring for the South Australian community. We are passionate, and we would not be here if we weren't. If we didn't care, we wouldn't be here. Okay?
You're all being asked to respectfully take leave at the moment.
We have been given so many different stories from Sahel and Carl and Nal, and we don't know what's going on. We hope that our entitlements get approved. Up until the 14th of November, the next power of emergency gets turned over, probably for another 2 to 4 weeks, because we know this is ongoing. We know this is planned. We're not stupid. The hospitals are not full of COVID patients. The hospitals are full of vaccinated patients, okay? I've got friends that work in ICU at Flinders. 30 out of 38 patients currently are vaccinated. That is a fact, okay? The media is, I'm sorry, respectfully to the media. Please start telling the truth and please help us help you, because you are all targeted. Every single person is targeted.
Okay, you can pause that right there. Another point, again, in this interview. Understand the number of, again, pardon this word, vaccine injuries are way higher than what are being reported. VAERS is just a fraction of what the actual numbers are, the voluntary adverse reporting system. Okay, so understand this. The hospitalizations that are taking place right now for seemingly unrelated things, regardless of what that unrelated thing might be, whether it be the reoccurrence of an aggressive cancer or the neurological problems of a jab recipient, or again, heart problems, microclotting, pulmonary, heart embolism or emboli. Okay. These are things that are taking up the spaces in hospitals, in the ERs, in the hospital rooms, and in ICUs. Understand this. Go ahead and continue.
In hospital,
yes. Serious adverse effects. Serious. And we're talking 20-year-olds. We are talking 20-year-olds that have dropped dead. Nothing is getting on the media. Myocarditis is a rare, let me tell you, a rare cardiac condition. All of a sudden, every third 20-year-old's got myocarditis. You know what that leads to? Cardiac transplant. Where do we get hearts from in Australia with the lowest organ donor rate in the world?
Can you just clarify what your role is in the healthcare system at the moment?
At the moment,
and how
yes.
long have you worked there for and why are you
here? Okay, I've had many roles. I actually trained at the Royal Adelaide. I'm 51. I've been a nurse for 32 years. I started off as an EN. I went in to do my Bachelor of Nursing. I was a single parent for 18 years. I'm a very strong person, as you can see. And then I went on and did my postgraduate in mental health nursing 4 years ago. I've got 2 degrees. I'm not an idiot. I'm not standing here because I'm an idiot. It's because we care about the South Australian community. Currently, I'm a registered mental health nurse at Flinders. I'm passionate about what I do. I look after the most vulnerable people in society. And they are even pushing this onto them. Okay? They are expecting us to push this onto them as mental health nurses. I don't think so.
You've been put on leave, is that right?
We're on leave. I've asked for leave without pay. We don't know what's happening. I don't even know if I can get income protection. I'm lucky I've got a husband. A lot of my friends haven't, okay? They're on the verge of getting kicked out of their houses.
How many people do you think, how many nurses will the system lose because of the mandatory vaccination?
Nurses alone? I'd say at least 2,500 in South Australia alone. Okay, this is a small portion. 100? I don't think so. It's a lot more. I mean, we were looking at ramping pre-COVID. The system is not breaking. The system is broken. It is finished. Are you hearing ambulances all the time, sirens? That's the vaccine injury. Okay, this is Adelaide. We're a small city. You don't get ambulances every hour. What's going on? People need to start asking questions. This is nothing against SA Health, all right? It's bigger than me. We understand that. We all want to keep our jobs. We're not here to get fired. We're here because we care and we have experience, and you cannot replace someone who's been a nurse for 32 years like that. You can't do it.
So just to clarify, what's the answer? How do you think the government should be treating COVID?
I think there should be freedom of choice. I mean, some of us have underlying comorbidities, and we know this is not a safe vaccine. I'm sorry, but it usually takes 20 years to produce a safe vaccine, and that's if it's safe. The quickest before this was 7 years, and even that's too fast. You cannot produce a safe vaccine in 4 to 6 months. I'm sorry. And they are taking people for granted. And to go for our children in Australia with Moderna, when they're not allowed to do that in America, is absolutely abhorrent.
Australia's medicine regulator, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, has provisionally approved the use of Moderna, the Spikevax, COVID-19, for adolescents in 12 to 17-year-olds. And this enables this vaccine to be injected in Australian children. So we have regulators in the USA that say this good is not fit for 12 to 17-year-old teenagers in America, American kids, where it is manufactured, but it's being exported to Australia, where our regulators say, mate, it's okay, don't worry, just shoot this stuff up into kids. Do parents know this around the nation? Is any media outlet in the country reporting this? That a substance is being injected into Australian teenagers, made in America, but the Americans say this is not safe for American teenage kids? How many children in Australia are we putting at risk because of this madness? What is the TGA doing, approving something to be injected into Australian children when it cannot be injected into American children, a good that is made in the USA?
The member's time has expired.
Okay, all of you have got children, or if you haven't, you've got nieces and nephews. They're after our kids. Not in America. Moderna is cancelled in America. Why Australian children?
How about Scandinavia?
Why? Why Australia?
Okay, you can pause that. And as a matter of fact, you can take that off. The rest of the clip and the entire clip will be, the link to that will be on HagmanReport.com in the program description box for today's show. So let's be clear on this, all right? Everything that we're seeing here is a globalist plot. We know this, right? You know this. I'm more or less preaching to the choir. But I want to give additional ammunition and reinforce this ammunition here, reinforce the facts. So you have the facts. When you meet with your family and talk with friends and coworkers, you've got the available facts right at your hand, you know, right in front of you. The question here again, and I'm going to toss this out. I touched on this yesterday, I believe it was, but I want to reinforce this again. You know, if there was truly an emergency, I've got a couple of questions about this. Why would OSHA, which dropped yesterday and is being published in the Federal Register today, why would their mandates, if you will, edicts, illegal, unconstitutional, these are not binding, these are not laws, but why would this organization not make everything immediate as opposed to waiting 60 days? Now, I know there's policy with respect to certain the implementation of certain guidelines and policies. So many days, I believe it's 60 days after publication in the Federal Register. I get that, but they're using an emergency temporary section there to implement this. So the question is, okay, if this is such an emergency, why the 60-day wait? Why, you know, why on January 4th does this go into effect? You know, what's the magic behind that? Well, the truth is, this is merely a control factor. Because again, it is not, this has nothing to do with health. And I showed the clip yesterday with respect to, how people are being treated when they rise up against these illegal, edicts, mandates, whatever you want to call them. Okay. But again, now, if this was all about health, then why would 6,000 White House employees and the employees of the executive staff branch be exempted from this? Why? Why are members of Congress and their respective staffs exempted from this? Why are all of the employees of Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, you're looking at Johnson & Johnson employing about 120,000 people. Why are they exempted from this? Why are 1,500 Moderna employees exempted from this, or 2,500 Pfizer people exempted from this, employees? What about the 15,000 working for the CDC? Why are they exempted? Or the 14,000 for the FDA? Folks, you gotta understand, these are exemptions. Meanwhile, small businesses all around are being forced into compliance through illegal, unconstitutional, irrational, and arbitrary edicts of these power grabbers. So it makes no sense. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you've heard this before, but you got to get these numbers. I believe you have to get these numbers into circulation. 2 million illegals crossing the border. I've seen reports that, you know, obviously they provide no proof of inoculation, right? If this was a pandemic of the caliber of which they speak, you would see the border shut down. But yet there's unfettered access into the United States by design. And I've seen reports, well, you know, there's a higher rate of inoculations in other countries. Baloney. Okay, first of all, you can't prove that statement. And second of all, baloney. Okay, so it's just the way it is. All right, so that's that. All right, now, I mentioned Wisconsin Christian News. I'm going to touch on this because I really believe this is critical here. We're looking at, in the article I wrote for this upcoming edition, is The Lies That Blind. And right now we're seeing that the lies have become so blatant and the truth has become inconvenient. As the lies become more blatant as the truth becomes more inconvenient for those pushing the lies. Now, the delusion among the population and the propaganda machine by this Orwellian ministry of truth, consisting of the corporate media and social media outlets, is in overdrive. We're seeing it happen. I've often said this. There's a quote attributed to Mark Twain. It's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. Now, I believe this has never been truer than today. It's not hyperbole right now to suggest that a large number of Americans have been fooled into believing provable lies. Understand, these are provable lies. These are lies that we can show you that have been perpetuated by the corporate media and censored, the information, the proper information, censored by social media. It's ridiculous. But these lies could result in the destruction of our nation as well as our own personal well-being. It could result in our personal demise as well. To the reader and to the reader of that article that's coming out and to the viewers and listeners here, I would urge everyone to understand, or I would submit to you folks, that this, what we're seeing right now, is a coordinated and planned destruction by a very slimy cabal of unelected globalist leaders and their highly paid minions. You've got people orchestrating this, and you've got the foot soldiers for this criminal corporate or criminal cabal, the globalist cabal. Their goal, I would stipulate, is nothing less, nothing short of imploding this country, capturing our nation, and killing off anyone who refuses to live under their subjugation. And if you think that's hyperbole, folks, it's not. I mean, how much more evidence do you need? Now, I spoke of the lies, right? Okay, the pandemic, as it's been called, of SARS-CoV-2 and the response by Western nations is the mechanism being used to usher in total global control over every person and every nation, period. That's the mechanism. And even if it wasn't successfully, or specifically, I should say, created for this purpose, it's certainly being used for that purpose now, or has been exploited for that purpose. Take a look at what it's done over the last, 24 months, we'll say. Because it's been out there a long time. The response, however, not as long as the actual virus. But the response to this was used as the predicate to violate our state election laws. They were used to reformat against the constitutions of each state and against the United States Constitution and against various statutes to violate election laws. The response has been used to decimate and successfully decimate small businesses through fines, closures. The church closures, and some people talk about this, but not enough. The closures of churches and synagogues. Isn't it interesting that the Muslims really in America have not been molested in terms of their worship services, right? But hey, Christian churches, no, you got to shut down. Mosques, okay. No, but a church? No, not so much. These are the very places that the revolution was planned. The American Revolution was planned in the founding of our nation and how we fought back against the British overreach. So the intent here is nothing short of imploding and capturing our country, killing off those who are resistant to this subjugation. So, right now, the majority of Americans, in my view anyway, have tolerated and complied with every overreach. Remember, 15 days to flatten the curve, the mask, it's just a mask, it's just a small inconvenience, it's just 6 feet. It's just whatever you want to use after that word. It's just whatever, okay? The compliance initially, and even through today, shows that, we're willing to subjugate, or we're willing to trade our freedoms, our constitutional rights for this illusion, false illusion of security. We've seen this. And it's even more so in countries like Australia and within Europe. And the difference, I believe, here is because we are a well-armed nation. We are a well-armed population. But hold that thought, because I'm going to touch on that momentarily. Now, yesterday, the U.S. Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they finalized that process requiring employers of more than 100 people to mandate what they call the vaccination to as a condition for employment here in the United States. And this is under the emergency temporary standard. But nothing is emergent. There's no emergency, and this will not be temporary. Okay, please understand that. These new rules were published today in the Federal Register, and they take effect on December 5th, but they will not be implemented until January 4th, 60 days after publication. That's that policy I spoke about. Now, the magnitude of this overreach is indescribable. The overreach, we have not seen overreach like this since the British and the Revolutionary War. And we have not seen the division that we have right now since the Civil War. Our nation has never been as divided as it is today. And, of course, anyone who speaks out against the response to this coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, or masks or anything else, you are a domestic terrorist. There are really three issues. And this has been reported on all major media outlets, but denied by the social media censors. There are three issues that that make you a domestic terrorist. Number one, questioning anything about SARS-CoV-2. Number two, questioning anything that about the education of your children involving critical race theory and such. And number three, what was the third one? Critical race theory. Oh, the election. Questioning the election. Yeah. How quickly I forget, right? So there are the three issues. So, you know, with me, check, check, and check. So understand that they're coming for us. They're coming for me. They're coming for you. And I say this because they are. And again, after speaking with John Whitehead, knowing that, you know, my name is on a list, knowing that others, my associates are on the list, you know, it's pretty sobering to think that, that, hey, they can, they think they can come and get me, hold me as a domestic terrorist, which of course the Patriot Act allows, right? It's unconstitutional as hell, but there we have it. But here we are, as they say. But the people who are blinded by the lies, the biggest lie of all, I believe, and the basis for all other lies, exists in the actions of Anthony Fauci, because and the National Institute of Health and Fauci's subdepartment of NIAID, all right? Because when we look back at what was going on, we saw, we can prove, this is without a doubt that SARS-CoV-2 was developed at the Wuhan Institute of Virology by scientists engaged in gain-of-function, period, and substitute gain-of-function for weaponization. Because gain-of-function is the process of making a virus more infectious and lethal, and there we have that. By definition, gain-of-function can also be used, again, interchangeably as weaponization. And the other lie, the fact that this has natural origins, it does not. There is no other template virus, the SARS-CoV-2. This never existed in nature in any, outside of animals, outside of bats. This was taken from bats and tweaked to make it effective and infective for humans. End of story. We can prove that. How can we prove that? Well, if we go to a February 5th, 2020 teleconference, secret teleconference between Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, and probably about a dozen policymakers, we found that that teleconference, which by the way, was referenced in 3,234 pages of Anthony Fauci's emails, all right, talking about covering up the origins of this. And covering up the function, the funding of these gain of function experiments. We find that there was a teleconference, secret teleconference, that was exposed by the 3,234 emails that were obtained by two, include Judicial Watch and a couple of other outlets that confirmed that there was a discussion again, February 5th of 2020. To hide the fact that they were doing this gain-of-function research. Now, I want to pause here. There's a video, Rand Paul yesterday, and people will say, oh, Rand Paul, he's just an ophthalmologist. He's self-certified. He's this, he's that. Look, folks, you cannot argue with the facts. When you attack the individual, you are not addressing the facts. This is a brilliant, I believe, a brilliant exchange. The introduction, which is necessary here, the introduction by Rand Paul is necessary, given what I said, to talk about to hold Fauci accountable for his deeds. Because, listen, there was funding funneled by Anthony Fauci through NIH. And by the way, Fauci's wife works as a ethics in the ethics department at NAIAD or NIH. I'm sorry. So you have Fauci in NAIAD. Or NIAID, I'm sorry. And you have his wife working in the ethics section of NIH. Go figure. And Fauci's the highest paid civil servant employee. Makes more than the president, the office of the president. Makes more than, what, $400,000+. It's nearly $500,000 a year. That's what he makes. So he's in charge of assigning grant money, among other things. And he assigned grant money to what? To EcoHealth Alliance. a couple of times it's been shown. An EcoHealth Alliance funded the gain of function study. So there was kind of a little skip, a hop, skip, and a jump for the funneling of the money. But, you get the idea. Okay. You have Fauci, Collins, his wife. You get all of these people, these unelected, people who think they're in charge of the planet. Who are actually pushing or number one, they oversaw the creation of this virus. Remember, Shi Zhengli, that bat lady, was working with bats for decades over in Wuhan. Wuhan started out as a simple laboratory in 1958, became a level four biolab, just several years ago. Okay. But was functioning without that certification for, well, since 1958. But Shi Zhengli was the point person there that, that was working on obtaining the viruses, and, her team was tweaking the viruses. And the money was coming from Anthony Fauci, that smug little garden gnome that we see arguing with Rand Paul. That's where the money was coming from, by way of Ralph Baruch, EcoHealth Alliance, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to Wuhan. Oh, there's also a Canadian connection there. And there's also a British connection there through a British, Jeremy Farrar, a British pharmaceutical, head. Look, this was all planned out. And you had Fauci during the tenure of President Trump saying, look, there's going to be, he's most certainly going to have to deal with the pandemic. Now you have Gates saying something else more recently. In fact, this past Tuesday, I'm going to get to that momentarily, but let's roll this clip. I'm not sure. I know this is the entire exchange. But it's all important because Rand Paul does lay out the foundation for the lies. Fauci lied to Congress. He should be in jail. He should be charged, for starters. Then, in my view, he should be put on trial for crimes against humanity, made an example of, and again, if found guilty, he should have the appropriate punishment put upon him. But let's roll the clip from Rand Paul.
Hey, to admit that you approved of NIH funding for gain-of-function research in Wuhan, but your repeated denials have worn thin, and a majority of Americans, frankly, don't believe you. Even the NIH now admits that EcoHealth Alliance did perform experiments in Wuhan that created viruses not found in nature that actually did gain in lethality. The facts are clear. The NIH did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan, despite your protestations. You can deny it all you want, but even the Chinese authors of the paper, in their paper, admit that viruses not found in nature were created, and yes, they gained in infectivity. Your persistent denials, though, are not simply a stain on your reputation, but are a clear and present danger to the country and to the world. As Professor Kevin Esfeldt of MIT has written, gain-of-function research looks like a gamble that civilization can't afford to risk. And yet here we are again, with you steadfast in your denials. Why does it matter? Because gain-of-function research with laboratory-created viruses not found in nature could cause a pandemic even worse the next time. We're suffering today from one that has a mortality of approximately 1%. They're experimenting with viruses that have mortalities of between 15 and 50%. Yes, our civilization could be at risk from one of these viruses. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with known pandemic-causing viruses are incredibly risky. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with coronaviruses that have as much as 50% mortality could endanger civilization as we know it. And here you sit, unwilling to accept any responsibility for the current pandemic and unwilling to take any steps to prevent gain-of-function research from possibly unleashing an even more deadly virus. You mislead the public by saying that the published viruses could not be COVID. Well, exactly no one is alleging that. No one is alleging that the published viruses by the Chinese are COVID. What we are saying is that this was risky type of research, gain-of-function research. It was risky to share this with the Chinese, and that COVID may have been created from a not yet revealed virus. We don't anticipate the Chinese are going to reveal the virus if it came from their lab. You know that, but you continue to mislead. You continue to support NIH money going to Wuhan. You continue to say you trust the Chinese scientist. You appear to have learned nothing from this pandemic. Will you today finally take some responsibility for funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator, with all due respect, I disagree with so many of the things that you've said. Gain of function is a very nebulous term. We have spent, not us, but outside bodies, a considerable amount of effort to give a more precise definition to the type of research that is of concern that might lead to a dangerous situation. You are aware of that. That is called P3CO.
We're aware that you deleted gain of function from the NIH website.
Well, I can get back to that in a moment if we have time. But let's get back to the operating framework and guide rails of which we operate under. And you have ignored them. The guidelines are very, very clear that you have to be dealing with a pathogen that clearly is shown and very likely to be highly transmissible in an uncontrollable way in humans and to have a high degree of morbidity and mortality, and that you do experiments to enhance that, hence the word EPPP, enhanced pathogens of potential.
So when EcoHealth Alliance took the virus, SHC-014, and combined it with WIV-1 and caused a recombinant virus that doesn't exist in nature, and it made mice sicker, mice that had humanized cells, you're saying that that's not gain-of-function research?
According to the framework and guidelines.
So what you're doing is defining away gain-of-function. No. You're simply saying it doesn't exist because you changed the definition on the NIH website.
If you don't mind. Okay, folks, understand this. Now, the research shows that in order to conceal their complicity, that is the complicity of Fauci, the complicity of Collins, the lack of, in my view, ethics of Fauci's wife, they redefined the NIH, narrowed its gain of function definition to focus only on known, and I'm quoting now, known and established human transmission as opposed to any potential danger to humans. Now, this is a theme throughout this. The redefining, and this is what Rand Paul is speaking about, but I'm being a little bit more specific here because they don't get back to this. They redefined, they narrowed the gain of function definition to focus only on known and established human transmission, or in other words, human to human transmission, instead of any potential dangers to humans. So in order to cover the backside of that garden gnome sitting there that should be, in my view, charged for crimes against humanity. So go ahead and continue that.
Terrible, and you're completely trying to escape the idea that we should do something about trying to prevent a pandemic from leaking from a lab. There's the preponderance of evidence now points towards this coming from the lab, and what you've done is changed the definition on your website to try to cover your ass, basically. That's what you've done. You've changed the website to try to have a new definition that doesn't include the risky research that's going on. Until you admit that it's risky, we're not going to get anywhere. You have to admit that this research was risky. The NIH has now rebuked them. Your own agency has rebuked them. But that's, the thing is you're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function when they say they became sicker. They gained in lethality. It's a new virus. That's not gain of function.
According to the definition that is currently operable, you know, Senator, let's make it clear for the people who are listening. The current definition was done over a 2 to 3 year period by outside bodies, including the NSABB, two conferences by the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine on December 2014, March 2016. We commissioned external risk-benefit assessment, and then on January of 2017, the Office of Science and Technology Policy of the White House issued the current policy.
And coincidentally, the definition appeared on the same day the NIH said that, yes, there was a gain of function in Wuhan. The same day the definition appeared, the new definition, to try to define away what's going on in Wuhan. Until you accept it, until you accept responsibility, we're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
Thank you, Senator Paulin. I would like to give the time to Dr. Fauci.
Part of this, there are some additional testy exchanges there, which is fine, but what Fauci said this time technically is accurate, is true. Okay, now, but it's deceiving because what he's saying, he's talking about the current definition and how the definition was revised, but it was revised to accommodate this testimony at this time. All right. In other words, they knew they got caught. They knew that Rand Paul would call and did previously call him out. This goes back to last year or May of this year. So they had, but they were working on covering their backsides since mid 2019 to cover this up, to cover up their experimentation. And I would add this, that the first indication of any problem occurred in mid 2019. At that laboratory with this particular virus. So from now, speaking about this, because you know, this, by the way, shows what in investigative circles is called a consciousness of guilt. In other words, when you engage in activity designed to deceive, deceptive practices like this, you are exhibiting consciousness of guilt, which, as a matter of fact, and I mean that literally, as a matter of fact, suggests not only deception, but in this case, a criminal level of deception. All right, so you think about the redefinition. Another important fact from the establishment, from the time the CDC was established through 2015, the definitions of what constitutes a vaccine and the process of vaccination remained consistent. So think about that. For decades, the definition of a vaccine and the process of vaccination, the definitions were consistent. Now, a vaccine up through 2015 was defined as a product, and now listen to these two words, that produces immunity, therefore protecting the body from disease. A vaccination was defined as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Well, guess what, folks? On September 1st, 2021, and this was pointed out, too, in previous exchanges between Rand Paul and Fauci, here in the last, I think the last 30 days, maybe 60 days, well, since subsequent to September 1st, those definitions were quietly changed. Currently now, a vaccine is defined as a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. That's not a vaccine. That's a treatment. And to be charitable, that's what that is. And a vaccination is now defined as an act of introducing a vaccine into a body to produce protection from a specific disease. Protection is not immunity, and immunity is not protection. So by redefining what a vaccine and vaccinations are, what's happened? Now the clot shots, the death jabs, they fall within the definition, the new definition of the CDC. And of course, you know, now if you use the 2015 and before definition, well, you're going to get fact checked and censored. But if you use the new definition, which is not define a vaccine or vaccination, of course, that's what they want you to do. So you see how the language and the deception is changes. Now these changes, however subtle that they appear, were necessary to be consistent with the new narrative that vaccines and vaccinations no longer provide immunity to a specific disease. You're hearing that now. You need boosters and usher in boosters. So what's this all about? Well, again, this justifies not only the endless need for boosters, but it also provides the platform for continued genetic manipulation of human DNA. Now think about that. And it also does one other thing. It also provides the platform, the infrastructure for more insidious surveillance and ultimate control over a population. And these changing definitions will continue to fool people who are not paying attention to the criminality of people like that, in my view. You get the idea. I'm not going to continue forward with that, but you can see the deception at play. Now, what does this mean to us right now? And also, are there any indicators of what we can expect in the near term? Epic Times reported on this. This happened last Tuesday. Bill Gates at the COP26 summit said that, hey, we need to prepare for bioweapons to be unleashed, a certain bioweapon attack. And this falls in line with the human intelligence I'm getting that, they are screening for certain places right now are screening for Ebola and smallpox. As a matter of fact, medications, certain antibiotics are, how can I put this without giving away sources? Medications like Cipro. You can't get those in certain areas of the country. You can't get Cipro. There's a shortage of Cipro. There's a shortage of certain medications that are typically used to treat certain bioweapons, including but not limited to smallpox and Ebola. Okay? Think about that for a minute. And now if we can go to the Epic Times, that page, if we can put that page up, Bill Gates this past week or this week, he warned about this. We're 100% sure. 100% sure that a bioweapon, another bioterrorist attack, will be made on the population of the planet. So you have to ask yourself, this guy, what, supposedly got rich, made his money through developing a software system in his garage, and now because he's got money, he's out there, one of the biggest depopulation advocates on the planet. His father was, of course, associated with Planned Parenthood. But this guy's warning of bioterrorist attacks, smallpox and Ebola specifically, and urging that germ games be conducted to prepare for bioterrorist attacks. And when you look at who has the most to gain monetarily from the medication used to treat and even prevent smallpox, which was eradicated back in 1977, the last case. There's also a reporter back in 1978. You might want to check to see what happened to that reporter. It's a female reporter that reported on some shenanigans with respect to the smallpox outbreaks. She's no longer with us. But what I'm telling you is, this is being, I guarantee you, the next round of whatever's coming out will be deadly. All right. Moving on. I want to touch on this. Perhaps you haven't seen this. Perhaps you don't know. But it's overshadowed by other news. Did you know the Supreme Court? They're deciding, they're considering the limits of the Second Amendment with respect to a New York State gun law case. Did you hear about this? Now, this is important. I don't want this to fly under your radar. Okay, there's a report, and I can't do any better justice to this than this news report that kind of encapsulates what's going on and does provide a glimpse of where SCOTUS is going with this. Now, it seems at this point to be favorable to the gun owners, gun carriers, and such, okay? But understand this, the proof of need. Think about that. In order to carry a gun in New York State, the proof of need, you've got to show proof of need. Well, I'll tell you, my proof of need is the United States Constitution. That's my right. But nonetheless, this is a SCOTUS issue. Go ahead and play clip 2, and you can find this in its entirety at HagmanReport.com in the episode description guide.
Gun rights and the Second Amendment were front and center at the Supreme Court today. As John Yang reports, it is the first major test of gun regulations since the court said that gun ownership was a right protected by the Constitution.
While the Supreme Court has said the Constitution gives Americans the right to keep a gun at home, gun rights advocates say that should apply outside the home as well.
The Second Amendment doesn't end at your doorstep.
Tom King is president of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association.
I think that someone who is not otherwise prohibited should be issued a concealed carry permit without any problems at all.
King's group sued New York on behalf of two upstate members who were both denied unlimited concealed carry permits for self-defense because officials said they didn't prove they needed them.
And they were turned down for no reason at all. Okay, no reason given other than I don't think that you need it.
When the Supreme Court recognized an individual right to gun ownership in 2008, the ruling, written by the late Justice Antonin Scalia, acknowledged that the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. Gun control backers argued that limits are needed to protect another right. Chris Brown, president of the advocacy group Brady.
It's about the right to live, about our ability as Americans
to
walk down the street, to leave our homes, to go to church, to go to synagogue, and actually be able not to fear being shot. That's ultimately what's at stake in this case.
While King, a member of the National Rifle Association's board of directors, said that big city gun laws do little to curb violent crime, Brown says that licensing systems like New York State's do.
States that don't have robust permitting systems have on average, at minimum, about a 12% increase or spike in gun-related violence in those states. These permitting systems work.
Pause that. There's absolutely positive that that is an outright lie. New York and California, the most restrictive states for firearm ownership, the right to carry, the most restrictive states have a higher, much higher percentage of gun actions. So what she just said, and people suck this in, they believe it. Again, this is all part of the grand delusion. It's a lie. Go ahead and continue with this.
New York is one of eight states plus the District of Columbia that require gun owners to prove a need for a concealed carry permit. Some of today's oral arguments focused on the history of gun regulation in America, which the court had used to establish the right to gun ownership. Justice Sonia Sotomayor pressed the attorney arguing for the gun group on which history was relevant.
In colonial America, at least four, if not five states, restricted concealed arms. After the Civil War, there were many, many more states, some included in their constitution, that you can have a right to arms but not concealed. I don't know how I get past all that history.
Okay, pause that just for a second. It was unconstitutional then, Sonia, as much as it is unconstitutional now. You think that something being unconstitutional just kind of happened in modern times? No. Go ahead. I don't know how I get past all this, that history. Go ahead.
You sort of making it up and saying there's a right to control states that has never been exercised in the entire history of the United States. As to how far they can go in saying this poses a danger.
Chief Justice John Roberts asked one of the attorneys arguing in support of the New York law why someone should have to show a special need to exercise a constitutional right.
So why do you have to show, in this case, convince somebody that you're entitled to exercise your Second Amendment right? You can say that the right is limited in a particular way, just as First Amendment rights are limited. But the idea that you need a license to exercise the right, I think, is unusual in the context of the Bill of Rights.
That showed one indication that the Chief Justice is thinking that, you know, there's something not quite right here about what's going on.
Marcia Coyle, chief Washington correspondent for the National Law Journal.
Folks, you can watch the rest of this. Go ahead and click on the link at HagmanReport.com. In the interest of time, we'll stop it right there. But you heard from the Chief Justice Roberts in a rare moment of mental clarity saying, hey, there's something not right here, okay, about this, about having to show proof of need and a license and such. Not right. So that's good. Watch that case. Watch what SCOTUS does. Although, again, anything that defies the Constitution, Marbury versus Madison, for example, as Marbury versus Madison stated, is anything antithetical to the Constitution is null and void. It's not a law. All right. Let's move on very quickly to the third topic of importance, which is the invasion happening at the southern border and going to happen at the southern border. Folks, listen to me. You've got tens of thousands of unvaxxed, unvetted, unkempt, marauders, invaders coming over here into this country illegally. 400,000, count them, 400,000 encounters in October. And that does not include the people that just whizzed on in, right? So, but there is a different twist to this because now the warriors are coming up. Understand this. Go ahead and play the, if we can, in the intro. Okay, go ahead and play clip three. If it's racked up there, go ahead and play clip three. That's Migrant Caravan has become dangerously aggressive, and this is by design. This is a Steve Bannon war room.
I want to go. If you see what's happening now, the human tragedy that's taking place down there caused by the Biden administration, or I should say Biden regime, illegitimate Biden regime. Let's go into Mexico. Oscar Blue Ramirez joins us. The footage is amazing. Blue, tell us what's going on.
Well, Mr. Bannon, after 12 days that we spent with the caravan, today a volcano erupted, and the National Guard tried to stop the caravan today. And,
Watch this footage.
Were extremely, extremely aggressive. What they report right now is one National Guard officer has been critically hurt, as you see right here in this B-roll video. The migrants are carrying him to safety because some migrants, they did not want a confrontation, but others, they are quantity by the hundreds. They wanted the confrontation against the National Guard because they feel that they are violating their rights to transit. Even they were throwing rocks at them right here at this video, as you see, as they were, you know, leaving the area at Pipijiapan, that is the city that is proximately to the next border city of Arriaga. It is around 100 kilometers from Pipijiapan to Arriaga, and from Arriaga you connect directly to the next state of Oaxaca. What we have been hearing and our, you know, information that they are going to go again tonight to try to raid the migrant, you know, camp where they are going to be stationed and try to stop them from continuing from walking.
Look at that footage. Okay, hang on for a second. For our podcast radio audience, please go to get our newsletter. Please go get the show notes. The footage is unbelievable. It's obviously a crackdown. But here's what I think we're missing. Up until now, the Mexican government's kind of been helping this and assisting this and giving them passage and giving them papers. Why all of a sudden do we have, this is full police state. This is like Germany for the vaccine demonstrations. Why have the National Guard with riot gear and the shields and it looks like chaos down there? Why have they been called out by the Mexican state, sir?
Well, apparently this protection claim that it was put has not been directly in effect. So because of that, that it has not been directly in effect, the strategy of the National Guard and the Institute of National Immigration was to let them walk so they can get tired as humidity, weather, and thunder conditions have been, you know, effectively on the caravan. Just for information, sir, more than 60 people have been critically hospitalized and with dengue symptoms and also COVID symptoms. Out of those 60 people, 40 of them are children. So the strategy of the National Guard to get them tired, specifically now they are going in effect to try to stop them in the last part of the state of Chiapas.
Okay, you can cut that. And again, the full video clip will be on HagmanReport.com in the episode description box. And folks, please go there to grab these links. It's important for you to watch them. Now, I'm going to just switch to that last video because what you see here is not, I mean, that's sort of kind of a sanitized version, believe it or not. You have to dig down into the Spanish language social media to find out what's really people who are talking, that is, posting the actual videos. and they're much less sanitized than that. As bad as that was, it's not really, doesn't really give the full effect. So if we can pop, I think this is a 1 minute video. What you saw there, this is a Mexican National Guard member. Just watch how they treat this man. And these are the people who Biden will welcome, Harris will welcome, the globalists will welcome into this country. And one more thing before we play that. Notice the symptoms of dengue fever and COVID. And they're going to allow these people to walk right in. And the fact checkers, of course, MSNBC, Rachel Madcap, and others will say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Well, yes, it is happening. It has happened and continues to happen. What you're seeing here is this National Guardsman on the ground. And I'll just tell you, we don't have to play it. You will see this group of, you know, women or the group of migrants. Okay, watch this. It is playing a little bit. It's in slow-mo, but you can see. Did you see that? Here's a man critically wounded on the ground, and these people, these animals, and they are animals, are kicking him. I mean, the guy, if you listen to the audio, I do know the Spanish word for dead, and they believed him to be dead. Now, again, this is pretty graphic, pretty gruesome as you watch this. But these animals will be welcomed with open arms by the Biden-Harris regime. If you don't think America's a captured operation, well, then I got news for you. Let me know when Austin's on. All right. So, but there you have it. All right. So this is what's coming into this country. And oh, by the way, the $450,000 per separated immigrant, which is, again, words mean things, and ill-defined words provide the basis for lies. Look, that, remember Biden said, oh, that's a bunch of garbage, it's never going to happen, not going to happen, right, in that impromptu statement he made. Well, somebody better tap him on the shoulder and say, you know what, you might want to check with your Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, who is actually pushing for the compensation for families that were separated at the border. So in theory, then, if you take that and apply it to any criminal of today, you get arrested, you get tossed in jail, you're separated from your family, you win the jackpot, $450,000, or that tops out at $1 million per family. So yes, is it true? 100%. But Biden, that Mr., you know, Shuffles, Mr. Poopy Pants, Mr. Potato Head, whatever you want to call him. Nobody, you know, I guess he just, who's running this country? Who's running the place? It's obviously not him. So somebody ought to tell him, yeah, hey, Mr. Marbles, it's true. It's not right, but it's true. So you're not going to happen, never going to happen? Well, that's a bunch of BS. And Psaki, okay, again, remember the P is silent. Just like the P in president for Biden. Well, somebody, you know, she tried to kind of soft sell that to the press. Well, yeah, you know, it's all part of the legal process. And, President Biden, right? Resident Biden, approves of this. It covers for him, right? That's the way it is. All right. Unbelievable. And again, you complain about this, you're a domestic terrorist. You complain about, what's happening to the kids, you're a domestic terrorist. I've got emails, calls out the, you know what, right now, of people calling me up and saying, hey, I've never before had this happen to me. I'm getting fired. I'm getting laid off or getting fired. I'm getting terminated. I'm getting persecuted. And that's the statement that I received. You know, what can I do? Can you help me? Folks, do me a favor. Oh, and others too, saying comments on Rumble, just very quickly. Comments on Rumble. I saw a couple of comments saying, well, you know what? We need to establish like a different healthcare system. Look, go to, or something outside parallel healthcare system or parallels, whatever. We need to engage these people legally. We're engaged in that. Okay. The ChristianRevolution.net. Okay, thechristianrevolution.net. Go ahead, put that in your browser, thechristianrevolution.net. That tells you all about the initiative of establishing independent hospitals, independent medical, outside of this insanity that we're seeing. And also to engage in the legal aspects, helping, you know, setting up other people. Attorney Tom Renz is involved. You might have seen him on different platforms. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is also part of that as well. All right. Put a period right there. But folks, look, you know, we're doing all we can. We're doing all we can in the field on at different levels to fight this tyranny. All right. With me right now is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, I take Health Masters every single day. And I'll tell you what, it's made a difference in my life. And I know others who have taken it. And I've actually dispensed this without a license. Dispense these nutritional supplements to team members. In fact, I gave Russ's team members, I don't want to talk out of school, but I did. we had a bunch of company in the office last week, and they were all hooked on B12. I'm telling you what, it made a huge difference in their mental acuity, their physical stamina. But one said to me, you know, I take B12. It's at home. I take it. And I've never had such a positive and dramatic, noticeable effect, positive effect from B12 than from what you're taking. And I said, yeah, well, it's quality product, healthmasters.com. And, in fact, I ended up giving my bottle to that individual, the rest of the bottle. So I got to order more. Go to healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Folks, and while you're there, go ahead and click on the radio link. Ted and Austin Brower, father-son radio show. I'm telling you what, it's an hour-long informational download Monday through Friday. That's 5 days a week. You can't beat it with a stick. And also replays on Sunday. So there you have it. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Austin, thank you so much for making your products available to me and others. And thank you for putting it out there. How are you, sir?
Absolutely, bud. I'm blessed today. It's monsoon and all day down here in Florida, so we're getting some rain. But they said it's actually supposed to be in the 60s this weekend after it stops raining. So we got some cool weather coming in, which is nice. And I was listening to your show as you were spooling up as far as introducing me in. And, you know, I've seen a lot of what's been going on now with the migrant invasion. We've talked about this in detail, how a lot of these countries and a lot of groups have been heavily funding, supporting, and basically feeding these huge migrant groups that are coming in. Because when you start having groups of 20, 30, 40,000 people that are running through areas or walking through areas, you know, that's not something you just do on a whim. You're talking about tens of thousands of pounds of food every single day to feed that amount of people. Not to mention, we're talking about shoes. We're talking about water, clean water is that. And so when you see this happen, it is kind of curious on why all of a sudden Mexico is somehow putting this effort forward. But we know for a fact that the intentional introduction and the intentional just basically invitation into this country from these other groups has not been coincidental whatsoever. They are specifically doing this to try to overthrow the United States from within. And at the same time, they're literally going in and removing the entire workforce, or I'd say the entire, a huge portion of the highly trained long-term workforce that has been here for decades, as they have done now. As we saw, OSHA has now put their guidelines forward and said that every single person that works in a business that has more than 100 employees will be forced to get the injection unless they have a religious exemption by January 4th. If they have a religious exemption, they're going to be treated like dogs. And every single week, they allegedly are going to be required to turn in a COVID test every Monday and wear a mask 24/7, 365 whenever they are on the job premises. Now, what I've pretty much heard now is this is why they're taking it to this end. They're getting ready to drop any and all federal mask mandates, any requirements, any CDC guidelines. They're getting ready to drop it if you've been vaccinated, just like they did 6 months ago. And they're getting ready to do this. So now they can come in and the entire vaccinated workforce can pretty much say, you're safe, you're protected, you don't need to wear a mask. But There's a few of you that have decided you want to be religious zealots, and we don't mind if you want to be that, but we're going to make sure you're treated like an animal and you have to wear a muzzle so you can let everybody know in the workforce that you basically have not been injected and you are not submitting to a RNA, basically gene therapy. And my brother-in-law out in Texas, I told you before, he works for a big defense contractor out there, and he has been fighting this tooth and nail with a religious exemption. Now, what's interesting about this is they have been observing and basically meeting with him. He had to have a meeting the other day. They had to sit down meeting and ask him questions about his religious belief, his strongly held religious belief. He did exactly what I told him to. He's been putting forward basically a letter. He's had it documented, and they tried to send him this, I told you, like a 6-page letter asking him all these questions. I have said this repeatedly, and this is legal. You do not have to give them information about your pastor or your church or any of that stuff. A strongly held religious belief is all that's required. Now, if you want to add something in there to strengthen your case, you can, but remember, anything you say can and will be used against you with a lot of these clowns. And that's exactly what they did to him in the meeting. I just talked to him the other night. And he said, dude, he goes, they brought me in the meeting. They had HR in the meeting. They had like my regional manager that was in the meeting. They had an attorney in the meeting. And they wanted to sit there and ask me all these questions. And I said, I had a strongly held religious belief. He said, well, what about your pastor? Does he held the same belief? And he goes, I'm not at liberty to discuss any of that. I have a strongly held religious belief, me personally. And so the meeting went on for about 5 minutes, and so they finally just dropped it.
That's about 4 minutes, 30 seconds too long, by the way.
Long. I was just about to say, that's about too long for me, considering the fact that, as you know from the Civil Rights Act, you do not have to give an explanation about why you believe this with your pastor and your church. You get a letter from your deacon or your – none of that. There is none of that. Now, in that requirement, they are required to basically properly accommodate you any way they can to maintain your religious beliefs. And so they have now sent him a letter. He just got it in today. And I guess they've been waiting on OSHA to come back. And they said, you, we approve it until January 4th. And then January 4th, you're going to be required to submit on your own dime every single Monday a PCR test or whatever test they're requiring and wear a mask. And so now he's in the process of putting forward a strongly held religious belief exemption for mask and test. So this one's going to be a little bit harder. It's going to definitely be more of a push, but I've encouraged him to do the same because, quite frankly, proper accommodation is not telling you you have to go pay for a PCR test $30, $40, $50, $60 every week, because the million-dollar question, this is what I told him to include in it, if everybody else is vaccinated in this company, why does he need to get a PCR test? If he's not symptomatic and he has no symptoms and he's not COVID positive, meaning he's not sick, as we've clearly shown now, the asymptomatic COVID theory, agenda, narrative was a complete and total lie. We have very rarely found anybody who is actually truly contracting COVID and transmitting COVID and was contagious and had zero symptoms. That research article came out like 8 months ago. There is no science to back that theory whatsoever. So now he's going that route. And so I've encouraged everybody, continue to push back. Don't just give up. Don't just quit. Don't just file unemployment or go on retirement. You have to put a fight forward on this for a specific reason. If everybody keeps fighting, it's going to keep the resistance moving going. He said there's multiple other people now that have basically seen what he's been doing. And they're going forward now and doing the same thing. Because quite frankly, even if this shot was actually safe, which it is not, even if it was actually effective, which it is not, then you have one specific question that I have to ask everybody. Why in the world are you going to get injected with something just because somebody tells you to do so if you don't believe in it? I talked to another individual the other day. I was at a shop and we got brought up the vaccine topic. And he goes, well, you know, I went ahead and got it. He goes, I didn't get very sick. You know, I had a couple days I didn't feel good. He goes, but I just went ahead and got it because I just want to be able to travel. I didn't want to deal with any blowback. And I said, well, what are you going to do if they tell you you can't travel until you get the booster shot? He's like, booster shot? What are you talking about? I said, dude, they've already said now the booster shot's coming. I said, that'll be the next phase. And he goes, oh, no, they're not going to do that. I said, they're not going to do that.
They're already doing it.
They wouldn't mandate a shot either to be able to go to the stores or restaurants. Well, I don't, you know, they're not really doing that here in Florida. And I said, guess what? Contrary, my friend, I said, this OSHA group that has now basically decided that they are God Almighty on earth, and I'm saying that sarcastically because they truly think that they can do anything now. OSHA has now stated the rule of OSHA for mandated vaccines in the workplace will preempt any inconsistent state or local laws, including laws that ban or limit the employee's authority to require vaccinations, masks, or testing. Meaning OSHA is now saying that they will override states' rights and no state will be able to prevent any business from mandating a vaccination.
Okay, Austin, hold it right there. Because, yes, you're exactly right. And this was published in the Federal Register today. It was finalized yesterday, published today. It takes effect in 60 days after publication. I get that. But see, which, to your conversation earlier about the religious exemptions, about all of these exemptions, here's my situation. And I believe this to be true based on everything I'm seeing. This game, if this were a game, this game is rigged. The House always wins in a rigged game. Okay. So if we play by their rules, we're never going to win ever. Now we can put up the resistance by filing these exemptions. That's fine. But that's only all that's doing is just kind of being a fly in the ointment, gumming up the works a little bit. Because at the end of the day, we are going to be fighting tooth and nail for our very survival. Meanwhile, the jabs are going to be causing AIDS. I'm going to say that. You know what? The jabs are causing AIDS or the equivalent of AIDS. 30% immune deficiency after the first shot, 50 to 60 after the second, and 80%, an estimated 80% after the third. And this could manifest in many ways in different parts of your body and wherever the weakest part of your body is. But the bottom line here is you either submit and die or submit and become sick, or you fight. And if you choose to fight, we cannot fight or we cannot play within the rules that they establish. We have to go outside of those rules because otherwise it's like playing in a rigged casino or playing three-card money with a street dealer. You're never going to win. So that's just my view. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're absolutely right to an extent of what we're seeing right now, because the report that came out from the expose I talked about at the beginning of the week, where the research they have shown now is that 5% of the Pfizer batches caused 100% of the COVID deaths. This wasn't an anomaly. This wasn't an accident. I said this from the very beginning. This has been one giant experiment. There's certain batches that contain certain elements that are unbelievably deadly, and there's other batches that, in my opinion, I think aren't much more than saline solution. This would explain the reason why you talk to certain people that got the injection, and they go, I didn't really have anything. I didn't get sick. I didn't know I really got it. And then you talk to somebody else, and basically their wife got it, or their family got it, or they got it, and they got deathly ill. They're in the hospital. They have all these side effects from it. They're paralyzed. They got Guillain-Barré syndrome. They're having basically myocarditis, pericarditis. And you're going, well, there's no consistency here. Why are certain people getting the shot and having zero side effects, and other people getting the shot and all the way up to dying? When you start looking at any consistent drug, you usually have a consistent effect. And you usually have consistent side effects. Now, there's also always variations and variables. There's no question about that. But it's like if you look at ivermectin, there's usually only minor two or three symptoms. Like, you know, basically it can be diarrhea, or upset stomach, or nausea. That's pretty much the consistent side effect with ivermectin. And the vast majority of people use ivermectin and, you know, moderately high doses, in the healthy high doses, to fight off COVID. They have some of those side effects. The same thing happened to me when I was around 16 milligrams of ivermectin when I had COVID. It made me nauseous for about 30 minutes after I took it. That's normal with that product. It's just part of the side effect from it, but it knocks COVID out very, very quickly. When you're starting to see thousands of people get an injection and have no side effects, and then another part of the area, this same amount of people get the injection and are literally bedridden. And one of the reports here, and this was crazy, the Pfizer is showing on the VAERS report that 2,828 deaths are associated directly to the Pfizer's injection. Now, it's interesting about this. There's an average lot size of about 6,000 doses per lot, per batch. It is all the more shocking to discover that the highest number of vaccine reports made to VAERS against a single number of Pfizer COVID vaccine was 3,563 adverse events reported from one single batch. Now, interestingly enough, there's other batches that you can pull up on the VAERS report that have literally one side effect. And one of them was like slight irritation of the injection site. Out of 6,000 doses, one adverse event. But then you have another one that has 3,563. And what's interesting about it is from the Pfizer injection, they found that just two of the batches caused almost all of the deaths reported in the Pfizer VAERS reporting system.
And that's so that that's lot number EK9231, just in case anyone's keeping score at home. And so those five percent vials went to 13 states. And how much do you want to bet that those 13 states were all red states or considered red states? Just saying. So, but even more telling, Austin, is the fact that in order to come up with this conclusion that 5% of the lots have problems associated with them, and to come up with 3,560 some odd adverse reactions, including death, there's got to be a surveillance over the actual delivery system of these death shots. So, if that's the case, the VAERS reporting system is really it's kind of a footnote to what should be being reported and is not being reported. Go ahead, sir.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it should raise a big red flag to everybody that, 3,500 serious adverse events are reported on one batch, one lot number, when there's only 6,000 doses, meaning you had like a 60% adverse effect on that one batch. That's not normal. That's not okay. There's nothing that's even remotely okay about that at all. And so now what you're seeing is more and more stuff starting to come out now about the serious effects that are occurring with certain batches. And so now my next question is, what happens when they come out with this next batch, this next booster shot, this fourth booster shot, fifth booster shot? Now Pfizer has gotten emergency use approval from the FDA, surprise, surprise, for their tablet, their pill, COVID drug. Which I brought this up a couple months ago when it was first being basically manufactured and they were looking at it. So now, obviously, they now want you to take a shot and take a drug every single day you're supposed to take this pill. This, again, isn't by accident. Pfizer has found now, and I guess they just deemed them to be basically the pharmaceutical god, they have basically been given this, and they are going to continue to make tens of billions of dollars just off COVID alone, and this isn't going to stop. And that's what I've told people repeatedly, and it's the same thing you said. The pushback and the fight has to get even more aggressive, and in some cases, as we've seen now with a lot of the flights, the pilots are doing this. They're saying, well, dude, we're done. And one of the only ways this is going to slow everything down is with people basically not complying. And I told a lot of people that. I said, if you're in a business and their company's starting to do this, and you basically have a huge portion of that business that you know of, employees, they're not going to get the shot. I said, how about all of you just don't get the shot? I said, if a company's going to lose 30, 40, 50% of its employees, we're going to see how far they want to put their money where their mouth is and actually terminate everybody that refused to get this injection. I said, but this isn't going to quit. Now they're telling everybody if you get a religious exemption, you got to wear a mask and you got to test weekly. It's exactly what you said. It's rigged. They're going to eventually, what's going to happen is people are going to get so sick of this and so sick of being ostracized and wearing a mask, they're going to stop. Now, I don't know in a lot of businesses how they're possibly going to force everybody to wear a mask that hasn't been injected and how you're going to basically differentiate that if everybody that's been injected stops wearing masks.
Pick me. Here's how.
Mr. Hagman in the back.
Thank you. I'll stand up. Now, listen, part and parcel to these, to the OSHA, to the publication of the Federal Register, you've got to read these, man. You've got to read these, and also the attendant documentation, because here's the other part of this that no one's talking about. You have this civilian policing. It's not a police, but civilian policing force of the policies. Now, folks, understand what I'm saying here, where an individual or people pre-authorized or tipsters, if they're not pre-authorized, will be compensated by departments of the federal government, including the Department of Health and Human Services, for information of violations. Because when they violate a company, you're looking at if it's innocuous violation, you know, it just happened, about 10, 14, 15 grand. But if it's an egregious violation, or if they term it an egregious violation, you're looking at 125,000 that they've got to pay in addition to any other fines. So this is how, and of course, you know, there's a finder's fee, if you will. So, again, and one more thing, and I'm going to toss in there with what you're saying with OSHA. You've got, and folks, I was contacted by an individual. I'm not going to give out the name. Uploaded to for the Federal Register was also a document of just hundreds of pages. And I went through this. I wanted to gouge my eyes out. By the Department of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, right? Remember that dude? Well, I'll tell you what. Nursing homes. Listen to this. Nursing homes in particular. I don't know whether you saw this or not, but I'll tell you this. Nursing homes, they are now required, and let me, because I spoke to someone about this. The administrator or the next in line, which would be the director of nursing, now they are now required on a weekly basis to submit weekly reports of the exact number of all visitors to their facilities that must match the visitor logs that include staff, doctors, and vendors. Okay, so the untenable situation here that's being created is that that in order for these nursing homes to be continue, they have to be in full compliance. And if they're not in full compliance, meaning that essentially everyone's got to be jabbed, okay, for full compliance. Otherwise, they cannot continue in operation. What are we going to do with the elderly, the infirmed? What's going to happen? Just a question. Go ahead, sir, back to you. And I didn't mean to interrupt. By the way, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Go there. Get some good stuff. It's good, great stuff. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Doug, because, yeah, I've read portions of it so far. I just got the information this morning with the OSHA. And so that doesn't surprise me that we're going to have this snitch police state. We've seen this ongoing for the last couple of years with the See Something, Say Something campaign that DHS put out, you know, almost 20 years ago now. And they would have these, you know, videos when you walk into Walmart. If you see something, say something. You could be protecting people. And so you had people walking around, you know, somebody looks shady. I should tell the manager that person gave me a dirty look. They could be a terrorist. And it didn't really, you know, go very far because a lot of times people just kind of were like, whatever, we're over this. Well, now that's what we're going to have. Now we're going to have a financial incentive to enforce this, to try to get people more and more compliant while making pretty much, you know, East Germany Stasi police state. You know, this is where it's going. And now I saw with Pfizer getting approval from the FDA for 5 to 11-year-olds, which is interesting enough because I've looked at the reports now and the FDA approved the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine, even though they looked at the evidence and showed that there's significant adverse events from the clinical trials. I was looking at it. You can look at the first clinical trial phase 1, 2, and 3 registrational study. That's C451001 and C459007. And what's interesting about it is the ongoing study that they had from the clinical trials from it showed all types of adverse events from this injection in 5 to 11-year-olds. And what's so troubling about this, Doug, is since the beginning of COVID, from the very beginning, you know, beginning of 2020 here, there's only been like 529 deaths in children 0 to 17 in the entire country over the last almost 2 years now. You have a higher chance of getting struck by lightning as a child than you do dying from COVID. You have a higher chance of drowning in a bathtub as a child than dying from COVID. Yet we're mandating now these schools and places all across the country in certain states. California now, you see, they've mandated. All children will be forced to get this injection to go to school. San Francisco now, they are now expanding their vaccine passport mandate and saying that now within 2 months, all 5 to 11-year-olds will be forced to show their vaccine passport in order to get into a store, restaurant, venue. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me right now? So when you walk into a building and you got your 5-year-old son with you, they're going to stop you and not only ask you for your medical history, they're going to ask the 5-year-old. So either he has to keep his vaccine passport in his pocket, or you're going to have to keep it with you in your wallet so he can go into the store with you. I mean, have we literally dropped off the cliff in the loony land if people actually comply with this? I mean, I don't even understand why anybody would remotely think this is acceptable behavior in a republic or at all. I mean, there's no concept of this that even makes sense. And the sad part about it is we have so many people now that have now found their calling as a branch Covidian. We've seen this now. And I talked about on the show the other day. I said what they did from a psychological perspective, they've built the social media platforms over the last 20 years. They've taken a lot of people's joy from them when a lot of people aren't saved and they don't know Christ. And so they already don't have a meaningful life. They just kind of muddle through stuff. Then what they did was they brought in the social media experiment and dopamine triggered everybody into high heavens. So now everybody's got to get their high from looking at social media and wonder why their life sucks so bad because all they do is live through social media, which is unbelievably fake. Then they've turned around now and they've given a lot of those people this life now. They've given them this meaningful existence. Now they get to run around and be mass Nazis or vaccine Nazis. And they can run around with pride and say, well, I've been injected and I wear my mask. I'm doing my part to stop the spread. I'm slowing the spread. And now these people legitimately think that they're actually doing something for productive for society, when in reality, they're still as pathetic as they were before. And they have no goals. They have no ambitions. They have no drive. All they want to do is run around and tell everybody what to do and try to force their will on everybody. Like the video we showed, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where the girl is trying to get her coffee and the guy has the coffee in his hand. He goes, I need you to put on a mask before I give you your coffee. And she goes, I don't have a mask. He goes, well, I can hand you a mask. Here's your mask. And she goes, so you're going to hand me my mask to put it on so you can hand me my coffee. She goes, how about we skip all the steps and you just hand me my coffee? I can't do that. I can't give you your coffee. Those are the kind of people that I'm talking about right now. They literally get off on dominating situations now because they feel like they are the ones that are making the difference and making everything so much better. Newsflash, there is zero correlation between increased vaccination rate and slowing any type of viral spread. We've already seen now this COVID has pretty much burned its way out for the most part. Majority of people have already contracted it, got antibodies to it, or been exposed to it, and they're immune. It's slowing down rapidly all across the country now. The only reason you're seeing a lot of these cases still go up is they're COVID related is because they're still using the faulty PCR test with the cycle rate through the roof. And people are constantly going to the hospital with COVID-like symptoms due to the injection because their body is producing nonstop spike proteins all day long from the RNA gene therapy that they got. Perfect example, Ireland now, Waterford, Ireland. The city has now the highest rate of vaccination COVID-19 in Ireland, but yet the latest figures reveal Waterford now has the highest COVID incident rate in the country. And the most recent data, the area of infection has over 3 times the national average with over 1,500 cases per 100,000 over 14 days. And that's not an anomaly. We've seen this in numerous countries like Israel has an extremely high basically injection rate. So if somebody could please explain to me the science behind this and why we have an increased rate of COVID in areas that have basically tons of injections, I'd love to hear the theory, but nobody's been able to explain this to me and why we're telling healthy people with natural antibodies for COVID why they're being forced to take the shot. Now you have Mayor de Blasio, basically New York City de Blasio, is now bribing children to get the shot now that it's been experimentally approved. The New York City Mayor de Blasio announced Thursday that children ages to 5 are now able to receive the COVID vaccine and qualify for a $100 prepaid debit card from the city. He goes, city pop-up sites and school vaccination squads will be giving children prepaid debit cards loaded with $100 if they take the injection. And I quote, everyone can use a little more money around the holidays, the mayor said, adding, it buys a whole lot of candy. What? It buys a whole lot of candy. So we're talking about health. We're talking about the immune system. We're talking about being safe, allegedly, during the winter months. And we're telling them they can have a $100 debit card so they can go buy candy if they get an experimental injection. And I haven't seen yet whether or not they're actually going to give consent to the parents, or the parents are going to consent, or if this is just going to be a rollout. They're already doing this in Hawaii now, they said. If you look at the paper that came out in Hawaii, it states they're going to have COVID vaccination sites on school campuses now, and the parents will not be allowed to attend when those vaccination sites pop up, which pretty much tells me they're going to be injecting these children without consent from the family. And you know it's pretty much going to be forced injection because young children follow the crowd.
No, I actually received verification of that about a week ago, maybe 5 days ago. There are certain school districts now, and this is not public knowledge. The certain school districts have brought in, as you said, these injection sites on site, on campus of schools from whatever the age group is. And forgive me for wigging out there. But no, where they will inject without parental consent, claiming that they don't need parental consent given the guidelines of the state, and that being California. Now, not all of the districts are doing this, but some are beginning to roll this out. So this is what we're seeing. And, you know, to your point before that, Bloomberg just published and commented on a Lancet study that was just published. The title is People Inoculated, and that word's not correct, but okay, people inoculated against COVID-19 are just as likely to spread the, quote, Delta variant, this whole thing's a quote, of the virus to contacts in their household as those who haven't had the shots. This according to new research. So what in the hell? If you look at this, they sold you in a lie and stated you couldn't carry, you didn't have the same viral load if you got the shot. Now they're saying, so you get the shot, you still catch COVID. To cope with this, you know, people are saying, well, at least, you know, thankfully I got the shot, or it would have been worse. Well, how in the world would you even know that? But okay. You're a mask hole, number one, and number two, you're deluded. So have a nice day. But go ahead, sir.
Oh, you're exactly right. And it's funny. I remember I started talking about this last year when I started digging in deep, deep, deep into the research of the RNA gene therapy. When they actually released it and started talking about how this works from a scientific standpoint, I had to really look at it. Me and Ted analyzed a lot of it. And when we started to look at it, I said, this isn't a vaccine, man. He goes, yeah, no, this doesn't even qualify as a vaccine. Nothing about this even is a definition of a vaccine. And then we started looking at it. I said, how in the world is this going to protect people from contracting it? If it's a vaccine, it's supposed to protect you from a disease or virus. How's it going to prevent it if all it does is make your body produce spike proteins? Your body's not actually building an antibody resistance to an actual virus. Your body is just producing the very thing that makes you sick. I said, how is this also not going to start making people spread the spike proteins if their body goes into some haywire from the RNA and starts producing spike proteins out the wazoo, and they start shedding the spike proteins because their body is so infested with them?
Right. One more interruption, because you just hit on something I covered in the first hour. So the CDC, from its establishment through 2015, and I'll shut up after this, the definition of what constitutes a vaccine and the process of vaccination remained consistent. The first hour. A vaccine, up until 2015, was defined as a product that produces immunity, therefore protecting the body from the disease. A vaccination was defined as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Now, on September 1st of this year, they changed the definitions. Currently, a vaccine is defined as a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases, vaccination delivery for that same non-immunity. So there it is. I mean, they've changed it in order to fit their narrative. Go ahead, sir.
That's 100% correct. It's exactly what they did. And they knew they had to because they were getting a lot of blowback. You know, Ted and I were yelling about it. A lot of scientists and doctors started yelling about it. And they said, this RNA gene therapy, it's exactly what I call it all the time. It's gene therapy. It's right along the lines of kind of a mutated form of CRISPR-9 gene editing. That's what it is. It's just a little bit different. It goes in and it actually makes your body to produce the spike proteins. And so this, in being done in 5-year-olds, is nothing short of full-blown child abuse. Now that they're telling these kids that they're basically having to get in a lot of these school systems, they're going to be ejecting them against parental consent. My next question is this. Who's going to start taking care and who's going to be responsible for all these kids when they start having myocarditis and they're in the hospital? We already see the VAERS reporting system is extremely high, especially in children with myocarditis. Myocarditis has like a 50% death rate within like 8 years of recovering from it. It causes significant cardiac damage, especially if it escalates further. And the problem with this is we already know what it's going to do from just a few simple research studies and the trials that I just talked about. And then on top of that, you remember the report that came out in Oklahoma where the two children went with their parents to go get the flu vaccine from Walgreens, and they inadvertently, accidentally, the pharmacist there gave them the COVID injection, and they both had severe heart complications and were in the hospital afterwards. And I haven't heard anything on the news media on a follow-up on those two kids. What happened to them? I don't know. I hope they're okay. I hope they've gotten healthy again. I hope their body's been able to handle what they were given to them, as treacherous as it was. But so you got to start asking yourself the question, why would an entity be so bent on forcing you to get something that has such a high adverse event rate and has no effect on actually protecting you from anything at all? It doesn't stop you from transmitting. It doesn't stop you from contracting it. So it absolutely has no benefit to you whatsoever. And the whole BS story about, well, it reduces your symptoms if you catch COVID. I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? Is that really? So this isn't a vaccine then. If that is your argument to me, that is not a vaccine. That is a therapeutic medical device at best. It's like saying OxyContin prevents cancer. No, it doesn't. OxyContin is a pain reliever that can help if you have cancer. You can't say OxyContin is used to stop you from getting cancer. That's exactly what they're trying to do. And they're pretending that's what it does by using the narrative and lying repeatedly, saying it's safe and effective and it completely works. It doesn't do anything. Even if that's what it does is prevent side effects from catching COVID, then that's all it is. It's like taking an aspirin for a headache. So again, I really want people to research this and really, really push back on this right now, man, because this is what's going on. And you're seeing now that what we're going to have happen over the next couple months in the workforce, if people keep fighting and people keep quitting and people get fired, this is going to escalate. Under no circumstances do we think this is going to come out okay. I mean, as we're starting to see now with the inflationary rates going through the roof, the prices of everything going up, up, up and away, and then on top of that, now seeing the workforce being completely decimated while we bring in hundreds of thousands of illegals here into this country that obviously, as you saw in that one video, they have no rationale as far as being functional in a civilized society. I mean, you got a riot gear, National Guard guy on the ground, pretty much unconscious, unresponsive. And they come up and start kicking him in the ribs. I mean, come on, really? I mean, there's no fight. They're kicking somebody in the ribs while they're blacked out, face down on the ground.
Morte.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, and there's. Yeah. Morte. Yeah, they thought he was dead, actually, in that clip. But, yeah, you're right. So the bigger picture here, Austin, and I agree with you. This is going to get really dark, really ugly, and really quick. And I would urge everyone to really stock up. And this is where you come in too. You know, we can't fight this if we're laying in bed, not feeling good, or if we can't get out of the chair. So go to healthmasters.com. Please do that. I mean, look, I stand behind these products, 100% behind these products. I believe in their effectiveness. That's healthmasters.com. I believe that since I've been taking them, and I can only speak for myself, I've felt better. I've have more energy. I have more clarity. I have more, a lot of things. Wink, wink, right? Anyway, no, I'm joking there, but you get the idea. Folks, healthmasters.com. Make sure you're on the Ultimate Multiple. If you can only afford one product, Ultimate Multiple will do you, but I would recommend getting the immune system support kit. And everything you can possibly get, including but not limited to the food buckets as well, because you're going to need them too, because right now, well, we're in an okay period. In about a month, month and a half, we may not be in that okay period. So healthmasters.com, make sure you're stocked up. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, you're exactly right. I always encourage people when there is no storm and there's a calm before the storm and everything's nice and relaxed and calm, that's when you go in and you start making sure that your preps are in place, whether you need ammo, whether you need food, whether you need medical supplies, whether you need first aid kits, tourniquets, whatever. Because, you know, I watched last year when we had a significant inventory of food buckets and everything started to dry up in the supply system. You know, pretty much everything shut down in the entire country for a month and a lot further than that in many states. All of a sudden, it was like we had cases of food buckets everywhere, and within probably 6 or 7 days, there's nothing. Everybody called us up and said, I want them right now. Dude, some people were ordering them next day air. And I was like, man, they're going to get to you with UPS. They're like, dude, I don't have any food right now backed up. I can't even hardly go to the store. We can't even drive anywhere. I need food right now. And I'm like, okay, bam, done. I'll get it out to you. We took care of them. And, you know, people were rushing to get it. And now everything's calmed back down again. And supply chains are starting to get a little bit better in some cases, even though there's still a lot of delays from stuff that's going on right now. And I'm telling everybody, just make sure you have what you need now. Because once it escalates, this thing, hindsight's a punk, you know, everyone always says that. Once it escalates, we are teetering right on the edge of a full collapse of everything once something happens big. Because as soon as something happens big, with the amount of supply chain shortages that we're having, with the amount of employees that are quitting, with the amount of individuals coming here from other countries, including Middle Eastern countries, a.k.a. Afghanistan. They've flown in, what, I think 120,000 Afghan migrants now, which you got to remember, majority of the people that come out of that country do not like us. We occupied them for 2 decades. We shot a lot of people over there. A lot of people got killed. A lot of people got killed by the Taliban over there as well. It was a rough country. And now we've migrated them over to this country. And we've already caught numerous. I was looking at a Homeland Security thing. They've already caught like over 40 individuals that came in that are completely and totally wrapped up in terrorist cells from Afghanistan. They've caught them. Well, as we know, the federal government's about as horrible as a wet paper bag is in stopping anybody from coming in here, because most of the time they know who they are. They let them in, even though they got a full dragnet surveillance that monitors the entire world. They want to pretend like, well, they don't know what happens. They know exactly what happens. Just like ATF knew the 2,500 machine guns and 50 caliber weapons were going right to the Mexican drug cartel, and they knew exactly what they'd given them to. And they just used it as an op to say, oh, we lost the guns. We don't know what happened to all those machine guns. Whoopsie. You know, don't worry about that. But hey, we found out somebody in Mississippi has a bump fire stock. Burn his house down, shoot his dog. That's their motto. But yet, Mexican drug cartel gets free machine guns. You know, got to look at the continuous behavior that they've constantly shown and kind of wonder why anybody has any respect for these agencies when they give us zero reason to respect anything they do. This is my opinion on that, especially if you've dealt with them firsthand.
Yeah, you know, and we've got about 10 minutes left of the show. So, you know, we're at a precipice here. I think we have crossed the Rubicon. I think that the left, the globalists, America being a captured operation by the globalists in tandem with the Communist Chinese Party. And by the way, about these shortages and supply chain issues, you got to understand a lot of these. When I say you have to understand, I don't mean that demeaningly, but people need to understand what the Chinese owns. I mean, even the cranes at some of these locations are owned by the Chinese, whether it be Long Beach or Los Angeles. So some of the port territory is controlled and owned by the Chinese. And this is compliments of the Biden regime, but it goes back into the Bush era as well. So remember the Dubai ports fiasco. Remember that. When was that? That was a long time ago. But having said that, none of this is going to get any better, and this is all by design. We are going to be at the necks, at the throats of our neighbors. We are going to be at each other's throats internally, and that's by design, as well as we're going to have situations going against the government. And you know what? I believe some of these walkouts, and tell me what you think, some of these mandates that are forcing the walkouts, forcing police to say, you know what? I'm done. You can't do this to me. I believe that this is the process of globalization of the police forces so they can bring in outsiders to to be police officers in your community, in my community, because those people don't give a doggone, they don't give anything, don't give a care about you or I, because they don't know us, they don't live within our community. So there's that, as well as the health system. I believe these mandates have done what exactly done what Obamacare failed to do, and that's to nationalize the healthcare system, or eventually nationalize it, and destroy it in the meantime, but nationalize it as well. So all of this is a consolidation of power by the scumbag socialists, or scumbag globalists and socialists, and freakish Marxists and fascists. And yet the delusion is so powerful, people are still saying, well, you got to get vaxxed. And, you know, Biden, get vaccinated. Okay, so, I don't know. I don't see any way out of it, but really, and I'm not advocating this, but I don't see any way out of this, but by fighting our way out of it.
Well, you're 100% right, especially when it pertains to what this was designed to do. You nailed it on the head. This whole mandate was designed to soften up the healthcare system. So now we see in New York, they're bringing in the National Guard. How soon will they start bringing United Nations doctors in? I don't know. It was also designed to soften up the police force and remove a lot of the hardliners out of law enforcement. See, the ones that are saying no to this, they're the ones that actually have a set. This is a fact. The ones that are actually saying no to this are the ones that will not comply with tyranny. They're true patriots. And there's been a line in the sand that's been very clear on this. Anybody that thinks that it's okay for your employer to mandate that you be physically injected with something that you have no idea what it is, and you think it's okay, you're a complete and total moron, and you're not a patriot. You can't claim to be a patriot but say it's okay for a business to mandate what's injected into you. I mean, it'd be the same concept of saying, well, it's okay if I go and tell somebody that works for me, hey, girl, you have to have sex with me in order to keep your job. The same concept's applying now. Somebody has the right to do something to you even though you don't want it done because they said they have the right to do it. Nobody has a right to go and take a hypodermic needle and inject it into you with an unknown substance, I might add, because clearly we're seeing from the data there is no consistency with these shots and these batches. There's no way from a clinical standpoint you can say these are consistent when you have some of them having 50, 60, 70% of the batch with serious adverse events and other batches having zero adverse events. There's no consistency here. And so I think you nailed it on the head. I think what they're trying to do in some of these areas, they're trying to make it so law enforcement quits, which they're doing. So then what's going to happen is chaos is going to ensue. It's going to happen. You're going to start having these pockets like New York City. They're going to turn into hell holes. They're going to turn into basically you're going to have the most aggressive, violent, most armed drug dealer going to turn into basically the biggest illegal gun dealer and warlord. That's what always happens in these areas. You see it happen a lot in Africa and other parts of South Africa when it goes into chaos. This is what's going to occur. And then because of the treaty, one of the treaties that I know that Obama signed back, I think it was like in 2011, it blatantly stated, if your human rights violations occurring in a state, it is the requirement. If the United States cannot physically do so, it is a requirement for the United Nations to step in and provide human rights support and law enforcement to protect human rights. They blatantly said what they were planning on doing with it. They wanted to stabilize the big cities as much as they can. Because remember, trying to destabilize an area out in, you know, rural Texas, you know, rural Florida, you're going to have zero luck out there. Because majority of the people that live in those areas are already very self-sufficient. So if law enforcement stop, people are just going to take care of themselves. When you need law enforcement in the heavy suburban and basically heavy metro areas where there's enormous amount of crime. And so if these areas get dried up with law enforcement and firefighters, you are absolutely 100% going to see lawlessness take place. And that's exactly what I think they want to have happen. Because the United States has become a very soft country, very, very soft country. The vast majority of just normal Americans have no preparations for anything. They may have a day or two worth of food in their house. They don't have any significant support to protect their family from any large group. Now, I mean, that's a fact. I mean, you may be able to have somebody that has a, you know, a 9mm handgun that's going to defend a burglar. So you start getting 30, 40, 50 people rampaging through the, you know, basically through an area. You're going to need a very, very effective automatic weapon platforms. And you're also going to need a significant amount of ammunition and the ability to feed those weapons and swap out barrels if you need to do so. The vast majority of families don't have anything like that. Even a basically very, very strong, robust M4 platform with multiple 100-round Betamax, even a semi-automatic form, would still be very, very effective at producing and stopping, you know, the amount of people that are coming to rob, pillage, and kill your neighborhood. And you add on 5, 10, 15, 20 patriots in that group that are very well-armed, well-trained, and have the ability to feed their weapons enormous amounts of ammunition, they would be able to support that area. The problem is, like I said, a lot of people don't have that, much less the training. And so that's why I encourage people, get prepped with what you need. Get out and practice and train. Dry fire if you need to. Work on scenarios around your property, around your house, what to do if you have a situation where you have a huge rioting group coming into the area that's armed. Figure out how you can have different blockades in different areas and have an escape, you know, basically an exit strategy. Have out different areas as far as from group points and lookouts and radios that you can communicate with your group. A lot of people don't have any radios. What happens when the telephone systems goes down? What happens when batteries out? What happens when electric goes out and you can't charge your phone? You know, you got to basically be able to backup charge your walkie talkies that you can talk on. So again, I encourage people, it is coming. There's no doubt about it. We can see it on the horizon. There's no reason to live in fear. Get prepped, stay strong, enjoy your life. Enjoy this world we live in. You know, it's everything that happens right now. Uh-oh, I think my phone, my thing blacked out for a second.
That's all right.
But continue to stay as strong as possible, read the Bible, and keep your body in good physical shape, and continue to speak the truth, Doug.
You know what, Austin, you're exactly right. And I want to kind of just close out the program. I don't know if you got that last image. This is a compilation of headlines from the Washington Post over the last 2 weeks, well, from October 19th to the present day. I believe it's two schools, two victims. One, school morning tragedy of teen girl who died unexpectedly in her sleep. Girl 11 dies after going into cardiac arrest at school. Fifth grader in Maryland dies after sudden medical emergency in the classroom. School in mourning after two pupils die suddenly in 1 week. There it is. And we're okay with this, right? No, we're not okay with this. Not reasonable, sensible, freakazoid people. We're not okay with this. This is genocide on a global scale, and people need to hang for this. Austin, there it is, right?
Absolutely right. There has to be some consequences of this stuff right now.
Yeah, sad, but true. Austin Brower. Austin, I want to thank you so very much. Folks, go to healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Again, healthmasters.com. And, hey, stock up, because you don't know when we're not going to be able to stock up, right? That's healthmasters.com. Start out with the Ultimate Multiple and then build from there, including the immune support kit, vitamin C, and get the, vitamins D with K, you know, D3, K2. You get the zinc. That's necessary for, I believe it's in all the protocols to fight off the coronavirus. So I want to thank you so very much for having this, making this available to all of us. We appreciate that, Austin.
Absolutely, Doug. I appreciate the support. Thank you for your listeners. If they need anything as well, they can use the Doug5 coupon on the website at healthmasters.com. So be sure to check it out. And just thank you for everything you're doing, and stay in the fight, my friend.
All right, sir. God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for joining me on this Friday. All right, folks. My goodness. I don't know. What'd you think? Folks, leave a comment on Rumble or Brighteon. We're on both platforms. And, of course, go to HagmanReport.com for the show notes. Yesterday, of course, we had Steve Quayle on, and we got into quite a bit of information the second hour as well as the first hour. And drop me a note. Let me know how we're doing, okay? We also have some guests that are going to be coming up, from Tom Renz, the attorney, to Dr. Zelenko, who wants to come on. We just have to get schedules arranged. I mentioned Michael Lindell before, some scheduling issues, I mean, constant. So there's that, especially now as we head toward the Thanksgiving Day holidays. So I just want to say this. It's been a rough couple of weeks. We've taken some hits. We've lost some great, great people, but heaven's gained. Our loss is heaven's gain. And please keep the Dizdar family, Russ and Shelley's daughter, in your prayers. It really hurts. You know, it really hit hard, especially when someone that close and two people that close were are not with us any longer. It's a selfish way of looking at it, but we know where they are. and their warriors now on the other side. So we still appreciate them. And, you know, the only thing I have to say about that is I really believe in my heart of hearts that there's something not right about this, that the men of God, women of God, the instruments of God are under attack by this satanic cabal of globalists. Believe it, don't believe it, I don't care. But that's something I want to say outright. Folks, I just want to wish everyone a wonderful weekend. Patreon, this Patreon meeting this Sunday at 7 p.m. Am I right, Eric? Yep. Okay, he just nodded yes. So we'll see you then. May God bless you, and may God protect you today and in the coming days. Good night.